This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
A new world report. Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The president of Colombia, the newly elected president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, in the White House, discussing with the president of the United States not only narco-terrorism, not only the effort of the Petro government to accommodate and accept the new day of terror groups, narco-terror groups, surrendering their guns and coming into the political process, something that happened with FARC under previous administrations in Bogota, now under discussion in Bogota with dissident groups or the remnant of FARC, but also discussing Venezuela. Venezuela, the next door neighbor that has enjoyed outreach from Bogota since Mr. Petro took office. And the question is, what is next, given the suspicion that Venezuela is a bad actor throughout the region, not just next door to Colombia? Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Gustavo Petro is a very deft politician and a man who has been outspoken not only during his campaigns, but since his presidency. He's understood as center-left, which is a trend throughout the Americas. But his relationship with Venezuela is hard to understand. He reopened the border. They've exchanged ambassadors, Caracas to Bogota. And yet Venezuela's conduct in the region, vouchsafing terror groups raiding across the border, looking the other way when we have reports of Russian and Chinese technology being used in surveillance techniques. Also the story of Hezbollah and Iran in Caracas. Petro doesn't clearly have anything to gain by welcoming adversaries of the United States of America. So the fact that Venezuela is going to be discussed in the Oval Office is of great note. What is it that the administration urges Mr. Petro to do other than his present, what you'd have to say, warm welcome to Caracas, if? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, certainly what Petro wants to talk about in his stop in the White House, which will actually be his third major stop in the U.S. after his stop in New York to address an indigenous group in the U.N. General Assembly and a stop in California to talk climate issues. But certainly what Petro wants to talk about and what the White House wants to talk about, which is more in the arena of Venezuela and cooperation on security and drugs, are somewhat different. As you also alluded to, Petro is himself, by personal conviction, his past with is an M19 guerrilla, certainly identifies with the left, and like many other leftists in Latin America, despite the authoritarian tendencies of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, has wanted to kind of bring Maduro back into the fold and has been very successful in doing so. Also, historically, Colombia has had a very close relationship in terms of cross-border traffic with Venezuela. And so, both, I think, for political reasons, but also for economic reasons and Colombia's traditional bond with Venezuela, the real opening of the border, despite all the problems that creates with transnational organized crime and the guerrilla groups and others that are already operating there, that was a major point for Petro. So I think that certainly Petro in many ways is trying to shill a bit for Venezuela in trying to get the White House to go farther in lowering sanctions. The White House basically the official position is we've already reduce the number of targeted sanctions. And until the Maduro regime shows more sincere progress on moving towards real free and fair elections, you know, with actual, you know, democratic parties that represent all Venezuelans, you know, hard to see that the U.S. is going to do more in that space. But clearly, you know, Petro would like this to see the U.S., the White House, or reduce more sanctions on Venezuela and help to bring Maduro back more into the fold.
The other challenge for Mr. Petro, given the scale of this, is negotiating with dissident groups, one in particular, a FARC dissident group, that remains outside the law. And the negotiations are underway, have been for some time. There's denial, there's obfuscating. But I note a news story points out that there is a priority. Searching for the disappeared must be a priority at Colombia peace talks. The lead here is that 104,000 people have been forcibly disappeared in connection with Colombia's conflict between leftist rebels, right-wing paramilitaries, criminal groups, and the government. 89,800 remain missing. So the insistence here is that negotiations are not just, we'll sign a paper and all will be well. It's called the Search Unit for Disappeared People, created in 2016, chiefly on the basis of the FARC rebels and those disappeared. This looks to be an intractable problem for Gustavo Petro. What is your measure of how he's going to deal with people demanding closure on their missing relatives and family members?
Well, John, as you point out, the cost of Colombia's ongoing multidimensional civil war over the past almost seven decades is just horrible. Estimated, you know, 450,000 or more dead. And of course, as you pointed out, you know, officially at least 104,000 disappeared, maybe as many as 200,000 plus. But as you also point out, the problem, again, over decades is without you know, a strong government presence in these territories, it's not entirely clear what happened to so many of the people. Again, only a very tiny fraction have been found, and even now with escalating violence in many of the territories that were supposed to be the beneficiaries of the peace, it's hard to really do, you know, forensics investigations or even really talk to the groups to get ground truth as to what may have happened. So as you pointed out, this special search unit was set up as one of the conditions for the 2016 peace talks demobilizing the FARC with the expectation that this would you know, help Colombia get to the ground truth. But again, just the magnitude of the people and the escalating violence in other areas, sadly, it looks like getting to the truth will not be something that happens you know, anytime soon on Petro's watch.
And Gustavo Petro himself is not unsympathetic to this quest. Is it impossible, Evan? In other words, are they raising a standard that no one could meet, given what you just said, the scale of the conflict over decades?
Well, John, as with any, you know, civil war or protracted period of violence, you know, this has to be done. The effort has to be made by the government. Petro certainly, you know, rhetorically, but I think sincerely, you know, like many other Colombians, would like to get answers. But just the magnitude, the complexity, it is a impossible task to do more than chip away a little bit. Because, again, the number of different groups on both the right and left who were involved in the disappearances, the circumstances in which so many people were recruited or murdered or kidnapped or otherwise. So, you know, certainly it's important work and it will probably help to get closure to some number of those people. But I doubt that we will get closure for more than just a small fraction, even with time.
Finally, Iron River, a metaphor that I learned from Reuters. More than half of crime guns recovered and traced in Central America are sourced to the United States, according to the ATF. 70% from Mexico, 80% across the Caribbean. This also flows to Colombia. We know that because it's at the transfer into Colombia from the Caribbean and from Panama. These weapons are part of the story that is not much mentioned when we complain about immigrants coming from the South or drugs coming from the South. To your knowledge, does Congress address this problem for the Americas, that it's gun makers in the U.S. that are providing this firepower?
John, the problem of guns coming from the United States, generally purchased legally in the United States and then smuggled illegally across the border, whether to Mexico or elsewhere, is a major problem. And it's a major sticking point, not only in our relationship with Mexico, but many others. I should point out that certainly not all guns used in crime in Latin America are from the United States. You have a broad number from the previous civil wars and violence in the region, other parts of the world, from China, et cetera. But a lot do come from the United States, and like alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, you know, have been long struggling to try to do more with respect to that. It's interesting. There's actually a lawsuit that's been brought by Mexico against the United States, and you have five Central American countries, as well as a number of U.S. states, I think 16, that have submitted friend of the court briefs talking about that. And indeed, I believe Barbados Prime Minister Mia Motley in the Caribbean, where in places like Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, gang-affiliated gun violence and murders have been just rampant. Mia Motley spoke out not too long ago very forcefully about this. There was just actually a major a violence, basically symposium at the presidential prime minister level in the Caribbean on this exact issue. So it does continue to be a major issue across the region and one that raises a lot of different perspectives between, U.S. and our Second Amendment rights and the region, which is experiencing just record levels of gun violence.
Professor Avanelis, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute. We're headed to Brazil. Lula da Silva has returned from China with much to say about peace. This is the New World Report. I'm John Nash.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.